And I guess we won't have any specials sung this afternoon, but you're always welcome to. I want to say it's a blessing to have our young people help with the worship. It's a joy to see them up there singing for the Lord. And we're back in Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. We're going to just focus on that one verse. And the goal just to try to dig a little deeper and maybe to answer some more questions this afternoon. I've got some just in mind, but I'm going to give you an opportunity at the end. Maybe you've got some questions that have come up. Do you study your Bible to learn things? Amen. No more. Do you ever study your Bible to learn things and then walk away with more questions than you started with? Amen. Okay. I'm just checking because that's what happens to me all the time. God will show me something. I'll learn something, but then I got three more questions to go with what I learned. But that's the joy of it. That's the process of it, and it's a wonderful thing. If you come into your Christian life thinking, you know, I'm going to learn everything the Bible says, and then I'll just know it all, then you really don't understand how this works. It's deeper than we can mine. It's higher than we can reach to. It's wider. It's broader. And it's just a joy to get to keep searching and learning. And all the way, we're learning more about Him and His kingdom and striving to live for His glory. If you're able, let's stand together. We're going to read one verse, and then we'll get into the message. We're going to pray, and then we'll read. Father, thank you for this afternoon, the opportunity together. Thankful for those who are here. We do pray for those that aren't here. Whatever's keeping them away, we pray that you'll heal the sick and help those that are struggling, and just help all of us to have a great desire to come together and to be together in unity, to learn of you. Lord, I pray your Holy Spirit would guide us into all truth this afternoon. Help us to learn of you, to grow in your grace and knowledge, and to abound more and more in your love. Please bless your word in spite of me. I pray that you'll guide us into truth and help us that we can be disciples, continuing in your word, and disciples who make disciples, and that we can see disciples multiplied in this place to your glory. Forgive us where we fall short. Help us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. He says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Please be seated. So we see the person of this. I reminded you this morning who we're talking to. Jesus in his teaching says, after this manner, therefore pray ye in verse 9, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, or holy is your name. So when we say thy kingdom come, this is about the person of God the Father, our heavenly Father. Now, I understand today in this room this afternoon, everybody gets this, but just never forget, he's our heavenly Father because we've been born again by faith in Jesus. If Christ doesn't come, if he's not the lamb slain from the foundation of the world, if he doesn't come into the world to die for our sins, if he's not the propitiation for our sins, if he isn't bruised for our iniquities and chastised for our peace, then none of this is possible. We don't get to come before the throne of God and say, our Father, which art in heaven. We take that for granted. I think sometimes we grow up in Christian homes or come to church, but you need to understand that the only reason he's our Father is because we've been born again. And while there are those in the world who would say, well, what, we're all God's children, it's just not true. We're not all God's children. Jesus even said to Jews in his day that they were of their father, the devil. And friend, if you haven't come to faith in Jesus, then the devil is your father now. You have to repent, turn away from your sin and unbelief, put your faith in Christ alone, trust in him alone, and then you're born again into the family of God. Then you're made a child of the King. Now you're part of his kingdom, and you can say, our Father, which art in heaven, and you can say, thy kingdom come. It's the person is God. The possession is his. Thy kingdom come. Now, I'm afraid we can say the words, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. But if we're really honest in our heart of hearts, our attitude is my kingdom come, my will be done. We're saying the words, thy kingdom, but really our attitude of our hearts and minds is that I want to do what I want to do. I want to do what I feel like doing. I don't want to do what I don't feel like doing. I want to serve myself more than my Savior. And so this is really about understanding that this kingdom belongs to God. It's not about me. Now, We have that attitude in our hearts sometimes as individuals, but I want to tell you, it's a prevalent attitude in churches as a congregation too, that we're really concerned about what we like, what we want, what we think is best. Our preferences sometimes become law rather than obeying what God wants. Amen. And we need to be really careful that we make sure that we line up what we know to be true and what we practice to be true according to God's will. And how do we know His will? According to His word. This is not my kingdom. It's not our kingdom. It's His kingdom. So we say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. So there's the person. It's God the Father. There's the possession. It's His, and there's His presence. We're saying, thy kingdom come. We want the, now we define the word kingdom as rule and reign. And I know a lot of people kind of lament that. They wish instead of the translators in English saying kingdom, that they would have used the word reign. And I don't mean rain like water drops falling from the sky. I mean reign like a king on his throne, ruling and reigning. And a lot of people think reign would be a better translation because we might understand it better. When we think of kingdom, we do, right? We think about a land. When we think about a kingdom, we think about a possession of a land. We think about a castle. We think about a military, maybe. We have all these pictures of what a kingdom is, but what it really is the rule and reign of Christ. It means that God is on His throne. He is sovereign, sovereign. He's reigning over a people, and it's about the people that belong to Him. And what we're saying is we want His rule and reign to come into the earth, that His will would be done in earth as it is in heaven. We want Him to come. So how does that happen? How does God come into the world today? How does Jesus rule and reign come into the world today? And it happens simply this way, through the preaching of the gospel. Amen. Amen. If you're saved this afternoon, if you've been born again at some time before now, and I know most of you, Brother Tom shared his testimony several times. Some of you have shared your testimony. Most of you can think about when you came to faith in Jesus, when you were born again. Well, when you were born again, the rule and reign of Christ came into your life, into your heart. You became His. That happened because you heard and believed the gospel. Jesus Christ was enthroned in your life. And the way we see the kingdom come today is by those of us who are in the kingdom going and inviting others into the kingdom. How do we do that? Well, we preach the gospel. We preach that Christ died for their sins, was buried, and rose again. We preach to them that through faith in Christ alone, they can have everlasting life. We tell them that you can't be saved by works. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by His mercy that He saves. And so we go and we take the gospel to others. And that's when people believe the gospel, when they're obedient to the gospel, that ushers the kingdom in. And that's the picture, right? The picture of us as ambassadors for Christ. This church isn't the kingdom. It represents the kingdom. But this church is a group of ambassadors for Christ. This is like an embassy in a foreign land. And we're to go out and help other people to bring them in to His kingdom. And we're looking for His presence. And we're looking to fulfill His purposes. His purposes. Thy will be done in earth as in heaven. We want to accomplish the purposes of God. Now, we talk a lot about the Great Commission here, and I think that's good that we understand that Jesus' command is to go make disciples of all nations, right? Is that what it says? But we don't want to leave it at just the first part. That's the imperative, go make disciples of all nations. But then He says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, right? So Jesus doesn't stop with just go make them disciples, get them to repeat a prayer, get them to sign a card, get them to raise their hand, get them to click here and say, I want that. No, we want to see them follow Jesus. See, somebody who comes under the authority of the king is going to obey the king. They're going to be subject to the king. So that means when God's word says believe, you believe. And when God's word says be baptized, you're baptized. And when God's word says grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you grow in His grace and knowledge. When He says the things that you have been taught, teach others also, that's what you do. And so we want to be all about His purposes And it doesn't just stop with the Great Commission. The Great Commission encompasses all of it, teaching them to observe what things that Christ commanded? It says the word all. So that means I've got to look into the Word of God. I've got to saturate my heart and mind with the Word of God. I got to know it so that I can live it and I can help other people live it too. So the person, it's our Heavenly Father, the possession, it's His kingdom, His presence. We're seeking for His presence to come and His purpose. We want His will to be done here as it is in heaven. Let me ask you a question. To what degree do you think God's will is done in heaven? Yeah, to what degree is God's will done in heaven? Let's do it in percentages. 100%. 100%. So in heaven today, we know that there was a time, and I don't fully understand this, but I know that there was a time when the angels that God created, that Satan was lifted up in his mind, Lucifer was prideful, he said, I'm going to be lifted up above God, and we know that he was cast out of heaven, we know that he took a third part of the angels with him, they were cast out of heaven, but my understanding is that was a one-time deal. They had an opportunity to make a decision at that time. Angels, God deals with angels different than us, okay? So in heaven today, the rebellion is over, the angels have made their decision, and those who stayed with their first estate, they didn't despise their first estate like those who followed Satan or Lucifer or Beelzebub or Apollyon or whatever name you want to go by. They made their decision, and in heaven today, His will is done absolutely. Amen. Okay? So when we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, what we're saying is, God, we want your will to be done here in the same way that it is there, to the same degree that it is there, to the same extent as it is there. Now, I don't know about you, but that takes faith. Amen. Okay, so I told you earlier this morning that the kingdom is here and now, and it's there and then. Okay? So do you agree with that? Do you think that's true? Is it here and now and there? Also there? Okay? So somebody might ask this question, if the kingdom is here now, then why is the world so broken? If the kingdom is here now, then why is there so much sin and sorrow and suffering and death? And I hear the antagonists, the unbelievers say this kind of stuff all the time. If God's so good and loving and kind, then why is there so much sin and suffering, death in the world? Okay. So how do we answer that question? If it's here and now, then how can the kingdom be here and there still be evil and suffering in the world today? Is the kingdom fulfilled on the earth yet? Will it be? Is Jesus going to fulfill the kingdom on earth one day? Is he going to fully and finally annihilate death one day? Is he going to cast Satan and his demons into the lake of fire fully and finally forever one day? Okay, so that's the reason. The kingdom is here, but there's still a lot of sin and suffering and evil in the world today because God has allowed us the free choice. You can choose to repent and believe the gospel, or you can choose to stay in your deadness and rebel against God. What's the answer? Well, the answer is evangelism. If you want to see the world, the kingdom grow, and you want to see there to be less evil in the world, if you want to see the light of the gospel take up more space in the world than the darkness of unbelief, then the answer is the gospel. You take the gospel into the world and it changes everything. Okay? Some people, I kind of mentioned this one earlier, is the kingdom the same as heaven? So when people hear the kingdom of heaven, they think that that's the eternal state, like that's when we get there. And so people kind of have this attitude, like we're here now in the physical world, the kingdom of heaven, all that stuff is for later, that doesn't apply to now. And I want to tell you that it's both here and now. If it's the rule and reign of God, then God is ruling and reigning now. Jesus isn't waiting to get his throne. He's on his throne now. Amen. When he died and rose again, the Bible says he sat down at the right hand of the Father. Why? Because our great high priest offered himself us for our sins once and for all, and the work is finished. And where the priest in the Old Testament, they had to go and make sacrifices over and over and over and over again, they never could sit down. That's one of the points people like to make. There's no chairs in the temple worship. The priest's work is never done. But Jesus finished the work and has sat down at the right hand of the Father. So he's ruling and reigning right now. The kingdom of heaven is not a place we go, just a place where we go when we die. It is the reign of God. So it's now and it's forever. Okay? I tried to show you this morning that the kingdom is huge in the Bible. Jesus talked about it more than anything else. So if the kingdom's so important, why is there so much confusion about it in the world today? If the kingdom's so important, why is there so much confusion or disagreement in churches about what the kingdom is today? So I think, I kind of mentioned this earlier, but I think sometimes when we have traditions, our traditions over time can become law, and we hold on to our traditions more than we hold on to the Word of God. And I think sometimes that causes us to get a wrong skew, because some churches will emphasize the future. That's all they want to talk about. They want to talk about the rapture and the return of Christ. They want to talk about the millennial reign. They want to talk about all of the things that are coming, and they're fixated on the end. And so because of that, that nature kind of culture permeates the church, and that's, people are so fixated on the future, they're not worried about the here and now. I think the other thing can happen too. I think sometimes churches can be so focused on the here and now and the physical that they're not thinking at all about the future. And so what we've got to do is we've got to be biblical. And what's that going to cause us to do? Well, it's going to force us to deal with the tension and the balance between the here and now and the there and then. And we're going to have to wrestle with that and work to keep the balance that the scripture has for us. Okay, I told you this morning, we looked at Matthew 6:33. He says, seek first the kingdom of God. Amen. Seek first the kingdom of God. So how am I going to do that? Let me give you a few practical things real quick, and then I'm going to wrap it up. One, we need to make decisions with God's rule and reign in mind. Amen. Most of you are familiar with Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with... lean not into thine own understanding. Amen. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. So in all your ways, in all your decision-making, in everything that you're going to do in your life, you need to look to God. You need to remember that this life is not your own. You've been bought with a price. I belong to him. He is my king. He's my king. I serve him. I serve the Lord Christ. So I'm going to make my decisions under his rule and reign. Now, how many of you in the room right now are Americans? Could you just raise your hand if you're an American citizen? Okay. If you're not sure, ask your mom. Okay. All right. This idea of a monarchy is kind of tough for us as Americans. I don't know if you realize how we got our start, but we said we don't want a king. Right? We said, don't tread on me. We said, we bow to no king. The early days of our American Revolution were filled with those attitudes that say, we are not going to bow to a king. We have no king. The problem is, we didn't say, we have no king but Jesus. We said, we don't want a king at all. What we said in America is, we want to rule and reign over ourselves. We want to be our own bosses. And so we have this constitution, we have this great experiment, and I'm not going to get into a debate with you about whether it's right, wrong, or otherwise. I already told you I'm thankful for the liberty that we have. Amen. But let me just say this. As an American, you can say, we don't have a king, we don't serve King George III, but we do have a king. Amen. If we're believers. Amen. And so we've got to get our minds right, where our American culture has caused us to be rebellious and defiant by nature. We've got to get past that and say, I am going to bow my knee to King Jesus. Amen. I'm going to kneel to him, I'm going to serve him, and I'm going to make every decision in obedience to him. So if I'm going to make decisions according to his rule and reign, then I have to know what his will is. And I don't know what his will is by asking my buddies. I know what his will is by looking into the Word of God. Okay? All right. When looking to make decisions in life, can I just say it's probably better for you to ask God's Word than Google? AI might help you to find the answers on how to fix something, but it's not going to help you fix your life. Okay? Don't get me wrong. I think, have any of you guys played with AI yet? Can I see your hands? I need to know who you are. Don't be ashamed. Okay. I was trying to shop for something the other day, and I couldn't decide which one was best. I stood back. I took a picture of the shelf in the store, and I asked ChatGPT, what's the best thing here? And it broke it all down for me in seconds. It's ridiculous. It's like terrifyingly scary. Listen, it's fine. If you want to use something like that to help you decide what to buy in the store or whatever, but you need to look to God to determine his will for your life. You got to be in the Word of God. You got to engage Scripture to know his will. And let me tell you this, the kingdom is about God first. But let me echo something I said Wednesday night. It's about others second. It's about God first, and it's about others second. This kingdom is an upside-down kingdom. We're going to talk way more about this later, but just get this. Jesus said, he that will be greatest in the kingdom will be the servant of all. Right? When people are in the kingdoms of this world, you want to have power, and you want to have authority, and you want to be the boss. You want to be the one who can put other people under you. But God, Jesus says, my kingdom's not like that. My kingdom's the other. You want to know how to be the greatest in my kingdom, then you serve. You humble yourself. You put others ahead of yourself. You wash feet. You take the lowliest task. It's a kingdom of humility. It's a kingdom of mercy. And we take that mercy that he has shown. We take the humility that he displayed, and we pass that on to other people. So, before you kind of wrap it up this afternoon, does anybody have any questions or anything, or just a thought, comment, anything that comes to you from the message this morning or today? Anything about the kingdom? Yes, sir. Right. Yeah. So all the best answer that I know, and anybody can help out with this answer too, I always point people to free will, because that's the only way I can understand it. You know, in the beginning, God, you know, they'll say things sometimes like, if God's so good and loving and kind, why didn't he create a world without sin and death? And the answer to that is he did. He did create a world without sin and death. When God made everything in the beginning, it was very good. And so God didn't force sin on us. He didn't force death on us. He didn't force rebellion on us. All the evil and darkness in this world, God didn't say, you know what, I made this all very good, and I really want to mess it up now. Yeah. No, he didn't do that. But he didn't make Adam and Eve to be robotic. Amen. He gave them the ability to choose, and they chose poorly.
So it can be related to the choices.
I would say ultimately it goes back to sin in the beginning. Yeah. That brought death. And Romans 5:12 says that we're all born with that sin nature, right? As by one man sin entered into the world, death by sin, so death passed upon all because all have sinned. So we're all born with that sin nature. So I can point back to the beginning, but I can also point at myself, like, or other people around me. Any evil that's happened in your life can be traced back to sin. Always. And the hard truth is, especially when you're talking about somebody who doesn't believe at all, They want to give credit to mankind for anything that's good and blame to God for anything that's bad. And the truth is exactly the opposite of that. So every evil in this world is mankind. And any goodness that exists in this world is by the mercy and grace of God. So we got to look to it and realize that whatever good's here is because God's gracious. Yeah. Broad is the way and wide is the gate that goes to destruction. So, anybody have anything else to add to that? Because free will is really about all I know to go to. Anybody else? Comment? Question? If you have any complaints, you can see our associate pastor or the deacons. Okay. Well, either you have questions that you don't feel comfortable saying out loud or you don't have any questions. You can always come talk to me one-on-one if you want. So let me ask you one last question before we wrap it up. Are we building the kingdom? Are we building the kingdom? Or are we waiting for Jesus to bring the kingdom? Brother Ben says yes. Brother Tom says both. So I know I've shared this with you guys a billion times, but God has really helped me in seeing that so many things are not either or, they're both and. We are building the kingdom. If God has called us for the church to build itself in love, building the church is part of building the kingdom. Is that true? The church isn't the kingdom, it's part of the kingdom. But if we're building the church, if we're building up one another, if we're seeing other people come to Christ, then that is building the kingdom. So we are, but he is gonna bring the kingdom. He's coming again. We sang about it. The one who is faithful and true, he is coming again. He's coming again, his rule and reign established on the earth. And so the answer is yes. Amen. Yes, both we build and he is bringing it. And it's all to his glory. Do we get credit for any of the building that we do? Give God all the glory. I can't take another breath without him. He gets all the credit. He gets all the honor. He gets all the glory. All right, let's stand together. We're going to pray. Be dismissed.